Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
So for those of you who joined us already, we already greeted one another. Amen. So we'll greet one another again at the end. Amen. So you might be wondering, there's a tradition. The pastor says greet five people. We already greeted six people this morning. So we'll greet them again at the end. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is in the Old Testament, so don't be a stranger. Numbers chapter 13, amen. So we are sharing the word on a title that says, give me that mountain, amen. And in Caleb's word says, give me this mountain. So in Numbers chapter 13, we are going to begin to understand there and then begin to see what the Lord has prepared for all of us this morning. Amen. Numbers chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. So this is a wonderful background for us to understand our preaching and what the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone, a leader among them. And I want you to keep that word, that you're sending a leader from among every tribe. Amen. So we know what happened from there, that Moses chose 12 men, well capable men that were to be sent to spy the land that the Lord was giving to the children of Israel. And God gave specific instruction that he would choose them. So in verse number 3, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now in verse 3, at the end there, we were told that these were leaders among the tribes. Amen. And if you go to verse 3, as we are leading, it says these were heads of the children of Israel. So these were not mere men. So the emphasis there is for you to draw to your attention that these men that we are sent to spy out were not every Jim and Jack. These were well capable men. Number 4, now these were their names, the men that we are sent to spy the land. We need to know them. So, from the tribe of Reuben, Shamua, the son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, you remember the sons of Issachar? These were the people who descended and knew the time, eh? They were among the men who went to spy the land. Oh my God. Eger, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshi, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. I'm leading these names deliberately because there's something that we're going to understand from this. From the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gemari. From the tribe of Asher, Sethu, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nehib, the son of Voshti. From the tribe of Gad, not God, but Gad. Now, when I was reading this, I remember other people pronounced God as God, but this one is God with G-A-D. Gil, the son of Mashi. And verse 16 says, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshi, the son of Joshua. Amen? Now, from verse 1 to 16, what we are learning is that God gave specific instruction to Moses to say, choose men. I don't want you to choose ordinary men. I want you to choose leaders. Amen. leaders in the tribes, in the clans of the children of Israel. So these were representing the 12 clans of Israel. And God told Moses to choose and select the spies. There was a particular reason why he did that. And so we see that all these 12 men, including Caleb and Joshua, okay, were well recognized in their tribes. And we cannot refute that. They were trustworthy in their clans. That's why they were chosen. Amen. They were responsible men. They were respectable men. Noble men. Or maybe we'd call them men of honor if we were in KICC. So they chose these men and sent them out to spy the land. Let's jump to verse 26 of the same chapter. Okay? We're beginning from 25. So these 12 men sent on a mission. They retained from spying out the land after how many days? 40 days. 12 men, 40 days on a mission. Representatives of different tribes. Men of honor, men of valor, respectable men, well capable men, 40 days. Now, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, they told Moses and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It flows with milk and honey." Amen. Because God had promised them that I'm going to lead you to a land flowing with what? With milk and honey. And I've told you before that when I was a student, one preacher came to our college and said, in every believer's house, there have got to be milk and honey. Okay? He told us that in your house, make sure if you're a believer, there's milk and honey. Whatever you do with that information, it's up to you. Just trying to share with you. And he said, this is the fruit from that land. Now, verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in that land that flows with milk and honey, where we went and spied for how many days? 40 days. Okay? The people there are strong. Amen. Somebody say strong. The city there are fortified and they are very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And if you don't know what that means, you begin to learn more in the preaching. Okay? The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of Jordan. Amen. Then Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Despite that these people are strong, as you shouted, and the cities are fortified, because in ancient times, cities were fortified. Okay, there was a strong wall built around the city. That's why you understand Habakkuk and other preachers, the minor prophet says, you stand guard and watch over the city, because the city was fortified and there was somewhere where a guard was supposed to be watching over the city. So he says, despite the city being fortified, despite that the men are strong, we should go at once and possess the land. Speaking is Caleb. Caleb, one among the 12. Respectable, just like the 11. Well honored, just like the 11. He stands up and says, no, we need to take up the land. Amen. But the men who had gone up with him, amen, said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are, now at the beginning they said they are strong. But look at what they are saying as they are refuting what Caleb is saying. They say they are not only strong, they are stronger than we are. So Caleb, you are mistaken. These people are not only strong, they are well capable. They are stronger than we are. We shouldn't go out. That's a suicide mission. We love our lives. Number 32 says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies, as men whom you sent us, respectable men, 12 men, the land that you sent us to spy for 40 days is a land that devours its inhabitants. It's a land that eats, it swallows its inhabitants. Now, this is so paradoxical because they went there and they came back, but the people who were living in this land, they were still there. So if this land devours people, it was supposed to first of all devour these 12 spies and even the people living there. You see what fear can do? Makes you create things that are not there. Makes you think to see things that are not there. When you see them, you begin to be more afraid. You begin to be more afraid than fear itself, because you are creating things that are not there. It says the land there, it swallows its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. Amen. There we saw giants. They're actually adding more description to it. We saw giants, the descendants of Anak. Now, if you didn't know, that's what it means. The descendants of Anak are giants. Well built up men. I don't know if they were lifting, but they were well built up. They came from the giants as we are like, and now they say, in the eyes of the giants, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Not in the sight of the giants, but in our own sight. When we looked at ourselves and we compared ourselves with the Anakites, we were like grasshoppers. And nobody taught these people these words. I don't even have an idea of what time they practiced or chose a representative to narrate this horrible report to the children of Israel. But they are able to compare themselves and say we were grasshoppers in their sight. Amen. Now that's the last verse, but we haven't finished. So let's go to chapter 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. It was a night of crying because of this horrible report. Because they were so scared that if we chose men who we trusted to be men of honor, strong men, we chose the best from us. They went out in that land and they are telling us this report must be right. We are done. So all night they cried. All night they wept. They didn't sleep because of this report. And the people wept that night. Now, they're saying they cried that night and they wept that night. There's a difference, eh? Crying and weeping. There's a difference. That's why they are telling us these two descriptions. They were crying and they wept without hope all night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives, these were now men, now I know. So these are men speaking, because if they were women, they could have said that our husbands. So it says that our wives and our children should become victims. You know, oftentimes we say, men don't complain, men are stronger, but we see now that they are the ones who are rising up against Moses, okay? Probably the women were having some courage, say, maybe. But the men were like, no, our wives, we love them so much. Please, why did you take us out of Egypt? Our children, that we die in the wilderness. It was better for us to stay in Egypt. It was better for us to die in the wilderness. Why did you bring us, Lord? Why did you take us out that we should die here? Says, was it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now remember, God had told Isaac specifically, our theme for 2021, that stay in this place. Don't go back to Egypt. Because at that moment, there were so many things happening that were pushing them back to Egypt. And it comes again, says, it is better for us. It was better for us to return. Although we were living a horrible life, but at least there were some watermelons. And it's already a period of watermelons. They are nice. And they are remembering Egypt. It was a time that we could enjoy in our suffering. Amen. So they say to one another, let us select from amongst ourselves a leader to return to Egypt, because Moses is not going to help us. Moses is going to kill us. Then Moses said, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out of the land, they didn't do what Moses was doing. They tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel and saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly a good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. We know there are giants there, but it flows with milk and honey. And if God delights in us, he will give us this land. They tore their clothes. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. They are our bread. The giants are our bread. They are our food. It's as if Caleb had read Luke 10:19 that I've given you all power to trample upon anything. Amen? On any power of the enemy. Their protection has departed from them. Not that their protection will depart when we go, but their protection is not with them. The Lord has already given us this land. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Amen? And you'd think that the congregation would now be quiet. The congregation said to stone them with stones. Okay? So it means you can stone someone without stones. Heels and shoes can do the work. But this time, say, we're going to stone Caleb and Joshua with stones. This text is very amazing. Now, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. God had seen what was happening and he had to intervene. And the glory of God came down in the tabernacle just to assure them that I am with these men that are speaking. Amen. Now, if you go to Numbers 14, the same 14, verse 34. Of course, now the Lord is speaking and says on verse 24 that, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, he followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land, which his descendants shall inherit it. If you go to verse 30, it says, except for Caleb. God is now speaking in anger. He says, nonsenu, you want to inherit this land except Caleb. Nonsenu, because you are rising up against me. Only Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you know, shall possess this land. Amen. But if you go to verse number 34, where we see the verdict of the Lord. Okay? According to the number. Now, God is saying, all of you who are complaining, all of you who want to go to Egypt, you can go to Egypt. You mentioned of death. I will give you death. You will die. You will not enter the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. And that's what is happening all the way down to verse number 33. And it says, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, they spied out the land for how many days? 40 days. He says, for 40 days, for each day that you are in that land, you shall bear your guilt 1 year, Meaning, one day shall be 1 year, until the 40th day, we shall be 40 days. Now, this explains why we say they stayed in the wilderness for how many days? 40 years. Now, I was about how many days? 40 years. I realized it was a tall order. So, for 40 years, you're going to stay in this wilderness. And you shall know my rejection. This is now God. For these 40 years, I'm keeping you. All I'm doing is for you to know my rejection. What a painful verdict. You will know that I'm not with you. You will realize that you are alone. Because you are rising against what I want to give you. But today is about Caleb and a little bit about Joshua. And we're going to spend more time. I read that text deliberately so you should understand when we'll be talking about Caleb. Caleb, as we have seen, is a man who chose to rise up and speak the positive about where they spied. He stood against 10 people. Wow, 10 men. We hear that Joshua was on the side of Caleb. He rose and said, although the bad report has come out, I was also there. I saw the giants. I saw the fortification of the city. But I also saw something good. I saw milk in the land. I saw honey in the land. I saw that the Lord is with us. I saw that when we come here, this is a good land for us. Amen. He rose to the occasion. You know, sometimes we actually know things that are right. We actually know that this majority is doing wrong things. And deep down our conscience, we know the right thing. We know the right words. We know the right figures. We know everything right. Yet we choose to bury our heads and hide. Because we are in a majority. Are we not in a majority? Are we not in a democracy where they say majority rules? But Joshua and Caleb says, no, we know what is right. And we're going to stand irrespective of how many people are speaking a bad report. What we do most of the times is we speak this truth in our hearts. It happens a lot, eh? We speak this truth in our hearts. You are chatting with somebody and says, they were telling me this, they were telling this. And in my heart I say it. Okay, why did you say it out? Like Caleb. Okay, so many truths are buried in our hearts. In those boardrooms, we can't speak out because they are in majority. We need to embrace the spirit of Caleb. Caleb says, I can't tolerate this lie. Whether you're going to stone me with stones, but I'll stand, I'll tore my cross apart for the sake of the truth. Now, a little bit about Caleb. If we go to Joshua chapter 13, we see that when Moses was long dead, and God raises Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Only verse 1. We see that verse 1 says, now Joshua was old, and Joshua was advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, this is God speaking to Joshua. Listen to what God is saying. It says, Joshua, you are old. Amen. Doesn't look like a good conversation starter. Joshua, you are old. Joshua, you are advanced in years. But Joshua, there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Joshua, although you have grown this old, you have advanced in years. This is God speaking to Joshua. There remains a lot of land, a lot of territory that you haven't possessed, that you haven't conquered. Amen. In this chapter is where God is giving Joshua specific instructions on how he is about to demarcate and allot the land that hasn't been conquered yet to the children of Israel. At first, it was God giving him, Moses, a command on how to send the spies to spy out the land. But now in Joshua, God is telling him that man, look, you are odd. But there's a lot of work to be done. You are advanced in years. You are becoming weak in other ways. Amen? Says you are odd. You are very odd. But there remains a lot of land to be possessed. So much territory to be taken over. What's the theme for 2022? No, say it louder. Taking over. Okay. Says Joshua, you are odd, advanced in years, but there remains a lot of territory for you to take over. And we already know that when we're talking about taking over, there are already people possessing that land. But God says that land belongs to you. That's why you need to take over. Amen. The year 2022 is advanced in months. This is November. It's already going towards the end. But KICC, there remains still a lot of land. Still a lot of territory that you and I haven't taken over yet. And maybe many of you have been wondering, we are in the year of taking over, now we are in November. Soon going to December, we'll be going into that fasting, that lovely fasting, preparing to go to 2022. So soon you're going to be hearing about another crossover. But God says, wait a minute, guys. There still remains a lot of territory. You haven't taken over yet. You haven't possessed all of the land that I said I'm going to give it to you. But the year is gone. The year is coming to an end. Amen. The year is coming to an end. I declare 2022 as the year of taking over to you. The Lord said this is the year where you're going to take territories. You're going to take over. But there are Philistines in the land. There are the Amalekites in the land. There are giants in the land. It's November now. Church, we need to wake up. You didn't hear me. I said we need to wake up. I want us to look back to 2022 when we were beginning. All that fire that we had in January and in February. And then there was a fasting. Remember it, eh? We were geared up to do this. And the Lord is reminding us, church. You haven't fully taken over. Maybe you feel like you have it all, that the Lord has blessed you. But God says, no. What I said I will do, you haven't fully comprehended it. I need you to rise up and possess this land. So God began to guide Joshua on how he would allocate these territories to the tribes of the children of Israel. One tribe after another. One tribe after another. And I feel like the Lord is saying, this is still a lot of land that we need to possess. And I'm allotting it to all of you. What you do with that information, what we do with that allotment is over to you. Amen. So from verse 3 of Joshua chapter 13, Joshua begins to allocate these territories. Read that chapter. Tribe by tribe. Others take God serious by his word as you read in that chapter, and they begin to possess their land. And still more, Joshua does his job so well. And others doesn't possess the land. Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14. Because from chapter 13 going to 14, you see God still allocating this land. So let's jump to our guy for today. Amen. And I was reading there, I was very fascinated when they came to the tribe of Levi. Not Levi Homer, but then it drew my attention. He says to the tribe of Levi, it gave the tribe of Levi no inheritance. Not because they were sinful. Okay, not because they were sinful. Actually, something special. They say, hi, Levi. They say, the Lord himself was their inheritance. Amen? That was a big inheritance. So they didn't require land. The Lord was their inheritance. And God repeats as much as possible. Says, don't give anything to Levi and his tribe. I am their inheritance. Amen. Yeah, wow, indeed. And that chapter actually ends with that, chapter 13, verse 33. That is repeated. It says, don't give Levi anything. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance. Okay. So let's go to chapter 14. So, Lev, you are blessed. Amen. Verse 6. Where Caleb comes again, he says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, to Joshua, Joshua, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me. You remember why? Because these were the only two men who stood against the majority and spoke what the Lord had said about the land. So Caleb reminds Joshua, says, you remember what the Lord said to you, my friend, and to me concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. Back then, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Now, God didn't only send Caleb to spy out the land. We know this because we read this scripture. He sent how many people? 12 men. But here, Caleb says, you remember when God sent me. You know, much as we know that God sent the 12 men, he sent these men individually also. Amen. We might be working in a group, but the Lord has a special assignment for me. So remember, I was 40 years when the Lord sent me out to go and spy out the land when Moses was still alive. We went and I brought back to him as it was in my heart. So as many people spoke against what we saw, but I, Caleb, stood and spoke the truth as I saw it fit in my heart. So Joshua, remember. Now, this time, remember that Joshua is allocating plots. Imagine Pastor McDuff giving out plots in Lilongwe. Eh? He's giving plot, others in 36, others in Ntiliza, others in here, others somewhere. And Joshua, and Caleb stands and says, remember. Now, because it's about land, Caleb has got to be careful here. If he's silent, he's going to be allocated a land that he doesn't wish. But he says, for 40 years, 40 years back, the Lord spoke about this. This land is the one we went to spy. I saw it with my eyes. I came back and I gave a good report. Everybody gave a bad report. It was their choice. I stood in the assembly and I spoke about what God had said, that the land was good and that we should go forth and possess it. Remember this, Joshua, as you are allocating the land. Don't dupe me. We were together, you and I. Amen. He says, nevertheless, in case you are forgotten, my brethren who went up with me made up the heart, made the hearts of many of people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. So Moses swore to on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden, where your foot has stepped, shall be your inheritance and your children's land forever. Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Amen. What an account. Imagine somebody reminding you this. It's like a gugumba in Tijewa. And as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness because of their disobedience, my addition, and now here I am this day, 85 years. Now, he's giving us a clear picture of what is happening here. He says, 45 years ago, this is what God said. This is what I did. This is what the men spoke. But I've kept this word, Joshua, for how many years? 45 years. I've waited for this time. I didn't say that word in vain. I didn't keep my word, my faith in him in vain. I kept this promise of God waiting for this special day. So this special day you are giving plots is special to me, Joshua. It's special to my children. Because my children will inherit this land. So you better be careful. So as yet, says, although I've waited for 45 years, and although I am 85 years today, verse 11 says, I am as strong this day as on that day that Moses sent me out. Just as my strength was then, back 45 years ago, now is my strength for war. Both for going out And in case you think if I go out, I won't come out, I've got also strength to come out. Amen. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. You heard that the giants were there. And that the cities were great and the cities were fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. And you remember, Caleb said this verse, said this word again before, that if the Lord is with us, he will give us. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive out the Anakites out of the land. And Joshua obeyed the Lord and gave Caleb Hebron, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. Amen. Now, this Mount Hebron is so special in the Bible. I'll just give you quick facts that Abraham stayed in Hebron. If you go to Genesis 13, verse 17 to 18, just write it down. Abraham stayed in Hebron, the father of faith. Abraham actually built an altar for God where he worshipped God in Hebron and saved God in Hebron. And this is the land that God had promised Abraham to give him. Amen. And number two, Abraham again buried his wife, Sarah, in Hebron. Okay. There was a man called Ephron, as you read the Bible. He tried to give Abraham this land for free to bury his wife. But Abraham, realizing the promise that God had spoken to him, he refused to receive free land. Amen. He refused to receive this free land and insisted on paying for this land. And that is of a great significance. Amen. He refused. I'm not going to receive this land for free. I'll pay for it. He bought the land, paid the land, and buried his wife there. You must know that although they might say this is free, it's not necessarily free. There's nothing like free land. You have heard this before. Nothing given to you is freely. There are always strings. You may see the strings attached at that time, or you'll see them later by the passing of time. So watch out for the things or for the people you work for when they come and say, we are giving you this for free. Amen? You might be digging your own grave. There's nothing like free lunch. Number three, Jacob also lived in Hebron. You go to Genesis chapter 37, verse 14. And the 12 elders that were sent to spy out the land, they also reached Hebron there. And we know they saw the mountains. Probably that's where the Anakites, actually what the Bible says, they stayed there, the giants. Okay? And lastly, Abraham was also buried in Hebron. In Genesis 25, verse 10, you read about that. And Isaac was buried there. Rebekah was buried there. Jacob was buried there. And we pray sometimes, we say, God of what? Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. They were all buried in Hebron. And Caleb gets this revelation and says, that's the land I'm going to inherit. Where the giants are, where it is tough, that's the land I want you to give to me. Amen. Amen. And here's an interesting one, that Hebron, if you read in that verse, even Joshua chapter 20, from verse 1 to 7, you'll notice that the Bible says Hebron was ordered by 7 years than a city in Egypt called Zoan. And I was asking myself why that detail is being placed in the Bible. Everybody wants to go to Egypt, okay? But here we are reminded that this city was 7 years older than Egypt. It was of much value than Egypt. It was of much essence than anything the people of Israel could imagine. Okay. So the things we go after, the things we chase after, the dreams we chase after must appear in same value like the Hebron that we're reading about here. The Hebron that Caleb is demanding to be given. What significance are your dreams? Are the things you are chasing right now? Do they hold any value? Do they hold any significance? Amen? Are you sure you're not just chasing after the wind? Because sometimes we are taken away and carried away because so-and-so is pursuing that dream. Because so-and-so is chasing that vision. And we begin to follow the crowd. But God says, Mount Hebron for Caleb. Although it is tough, I'm going to give it to him. So we've got to be smart as Caleb. Now, Caleb says, I am 85 years old today, but I remember clearly what God promised through Moses when I was 40 years old. I have held on to this promise for 45 years. When people were wandering in the wilderness in their disobedience, when they were dying there, I kept this promise, waiting for the day the Lord will show up for me. And this is the day that the Lord has made for me to inherit Mount Hebron. And a student says, I stood against the majority. Today I'm going to stand in your presence, Joshua. Give me my mountain. Amen. And he doesn't say, give me my mountain lest I die. He says, give me my mountain so I possess it. So for 45 years, Caleb obeyed God and lived amongst disobedient people, lived amongst people who were complaining, lived amongst people who did not have a vision for tomorrow. But he kept on and held on to the promise because he knew that the day this promise is going to be fulfilled, his children or generations after him are going to benefit. Amen? Amen. So your obedience or your disobedience to the things of God will benefit you or will affect you. And it will benefit you or even affect your children after you or generations after you. Amen? So you've got to watch out. Before you follow the crowd, you've got to watch out because whatever you choose to do today is going to pursue you. Or even if you die, it's going to pursue your children. And Caleb understood this. He had to fight not only for himself, but even for his children. So it doesn't matter how many are coming against you. We have seen here that Caleb and Joshua stood against the men. Stood, in fact, against the whole congregation when they were about to stone him. God doesn't use the democracy, the majority. As long as you stand on what's right before the Lord is going to honor you. He's going to honor you. He's going to honor your children. And it's going to honor even your plants, because the Bible says even your chickens, even your animals are going to be well taken care of because you are obeying God. You might have a vision today. You might have heard God before, that the Lord spoke to you about a particular thing. And this message is particularly about you. If you know that the Lord spoke to you about something, and maybe God gave you a vision to pursue, but you see time has been passing. Amen? It's been taking long. Actually, it looks like God has actually forgotten his word. It appeared so to Caleb after 45 years. Maybe you have actually adjusted your expectations. Amen? You have said, let me be real. God spoke this spoke to me about this, but it's taking long. So maybe I better adjust myself so that I prevent heart attack. BP, if it doesn't come through, at least I'll be safe. You came up with your own plan B because God was taking long. Your expectations, you downgraded them because you wanted to pursue and fit in into whatever was happening. And said, baby, this is too much for the Lord. But look at what Caleb is doing. For 45 years, he held on to the promise. Perhaps you have actually settled for less and said, God has nearly forgotten me. Or God has forgotten and given up on my dream. I want to challenge you this morning that God has not given up on you. He hasn't forgotten you. He is God. He would change his name if he would forget. It's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to dust yourself up, to dust yourself off, and approach the Lord and cry out to him like Caleb and say, Father, give me my mountain. Give me this mountain. I remember you spoke to me. You know, sometimes when the Lord is taking long, you begin to question yourself. Did I hear the Lord right? Or maybe I didn't hear so much well. But God says, yes, it was me. It was I who spoke to you. And in the right time, I'm going to make this happen. You've got to toughen yourself up. You've got to rise up. We read about the giants, and I want us to read what God is saying in Joel chapter 3 in relation to what we are saying. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. And if you can be able to read in the Message Bible, the better. Joel chapter 3 verse number 9 to 10. I'll read it in the Message. Amen. Says, announce this to the godless nations. Prepare for battle. Let soldiers be at an attention and present arms and advance. Turn your shovels into swords and turn your hoes into spears. Let the weak one throw out his chest. Are you able to see what the Lord is saying? In other versions, says, let the weak say, I am strong. But why I chose the Message version is it's so descriptive. It's making someone to understand. It says, if you are weak, it says, stand up and throw out your chest because you are strong. Amen? And say, when you throw out your chest or chest out, we have heard about Pastor Sunga that he used to lift weight. Eh? He used to be a bodybuilder. I would imagine to see him. He says, chest out. So you'd see the muscles out. That's what the Lord says. If you're weak, I want you to do this. Chest out. Show yourself that you're tough. And says, when you throw your chest out and say, I am tough. Amen. And say to yourself, I am a fighter. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I am tough. Say, I am tough. I am a fighter. Amen. And he says, you might have a shovel, but I'm turning that shovel into a sword. You might have a hoe, but I'm turning that hoe into a spear. Wow. Amen. So amazing. Today, you might be there and you're wondering, the dreams that you've been pursuing, nothing has been making sense. You've been waiting upon the Lord, upon something, trusting Him upon something. And it says, you might have your shovel. Your CV might appear to be so weak. It might be like a hoe. But I want you to throw out your chest to say, I am tough. I am a fighter. I'm gonna submit that beat, although I look like I don't have it. But the Bible says, toughen up. Say, I am tough and I'm a fighter. I want to use your hose, your weak things into spears. I want to turn your shovels into swords. Whatever you have, that's what God wants to use. It might take a long time, but God says, I want to change that. I want to use what you have to surprise you. As you go into the mountain, I want you to overtake. I want you to take over, but I'm going to use you. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.